Welcome to Zuma Worldwide's Health Education Conference Call. This recording is for educational purposes only. The name brand products referenced are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or mitigate any disease or illness. Health testimonies represent the personal experiences of the individuals and should not be viewed as medical advice. Please enjoy today's call.
All right, guys, I want to start off today talking about what is unfortunately a sad situation in our country. And it's one that sadly is preventable, but it's real. And that is the fact that it is predicted that this year over 50,000 Americans are expected to die from something called colorectal cancer. And it's predicted that while 50,000 or more are expected to die, over 150,000 are predicted to be diagnosed with this disease. Now, this is one of those diseases, by those numbers, this is what's even scarier, by those numbers, it's still a minority disease. But what's got most people in the health industry concerned right now is the amount of increasing cases, especially in people under 50. So it's interesting that studies now show, according to the CDC, that cases of colorectal cancer in people between the ages of 20 and 24 have risen by 185%. Here's what's even more unsettling. They've noted that there's been a 333% increase in cases among teenagers between 15 and 19 years of age. Now, this is crazy to think because colorectal cancer, as most of you know, getting a colonoscopy as an example, is something that usually is not recommended until you hit 50. They just now are recently suggesting that people should start getting a colonoscopy as early as 45 years old because of this kind of a trend we're seeing. But what's even scarier is that apparently based on the data that we're seeing now, even 45 years old is far too late. They're saying that one of the reasons we're seeing such an increase in the amount of people who are afflicted with colorectal cancer is because they're not being diagnosed with it early on. Because the conventional medical thinking has been, well, certainly this is not a young person's disease. This is not what affects young people. It only affects people who get up into their older years. And for decades, that was true. But today, that picture is changing, and it's changing rapidly. And so the question becomes, why? Why is this becoming an issue? And especially, why is it becoming an issue for so many people under that magical age of 50, which is where we're supposed to historically start doing, you know, colonoscopies and having our colons checked for things like polyps or potential tumors, right? It really has a lot to do with the modern day diet and food supply. See, this early onset of these gastrointestinal cancers are directly associated with obesity, which is not only rising in the U.S., but it's predicted that by 2030, this is right around the corner, 5 years from now, that literally close to half of all U.S. adults are predicted to be obese. Obese, not just overweight, obese in the next 5 years. And that has a direct correlation to the horrific diet that most people consume in our country. And by the way, it's not just that people are maybe being lax in their dietary habits. It's sometimes because they're consuming foods that are loaded with all kinds of highly processed ingredients, chemicals, preservatives, pesticides, all these things that unfortunately are no good for the human body, especially when consumed over long periods of time, that lead to obesity. And this chronic condition causes inflammation. And it also causes higher levels of insulin, right? And insulin increases people's risks of getting cancer. So it's all connected. If you think about the huge numbers of people who are diagnosed either as type 2 diabetes or pre-diabetic in our modern-day world, it goes hand-in-hand with the obesity epidemic that we're experiencing. Obviously, there are other risk factors that contribute to things like colorectal cancer or these gastrointestinal cancers, things like, as an example, smoking or drinking excessive amounts of alcohol, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which again goes hand in hand with poor diet and obesity. They're also finding that earlier this year, some new research is pointing to the impact of a very specific toxin in the gut. It's known as colibactin. So colibactin is something that they're now discovering has a direct link to some of these colorectal cancers, and it can inflict DNA damage on colon cells that leads to, again, cancerous tumors. So it's produced by a bacteria which is very familiar to all of us. We've heard of E. coli before, and that is often what we hear about when we hear about, you know, foodborne illnesses, E. coli. Well, this particular bacteria can also be lodged, if you will, in the gastrointestinal tract for far too long, and it can create havoc within the body, and more specifically within the GI tract. But the incidence, like I said, of cancers, GI-related cancers, in adults younger than 50 is rising, not just here in the United States. Sadly, this is becoming more of a global issue. And again, this early onset cases and this marked increase is pretty impressive in terms of how scary it's becoming, because right now, you know, both in American men and women, since the mid-1990s, this has been a concerning rise. In fact, comparison to American adults that were born, say, in 1950, compared to those who were born in 1990, if you were born in 1990, you have twice the risk of developing colon cancer and four times the risk of developing rectal cancer than if you were born in 1950. So what's the difference between 1950 and 1990? Right? Well, think about, again, if you've heard me on these calls before, talk about the food supply, what we eat today. In fact, you'll see this kind of stuff floating around on the internet and social media where they'll talk about it as an example, what used to be in food, say, back in the 1950s and 60s. You know, the things that maybe the foods that have been in your home since you were a kid, right? What used to be on the shelf of the pantry or the cabinets in your home, and what ingredients used to make up those foods, but now the difference in those ingredients today. You often see this compared to in fast food, you know, where they're talking about, you know, as an example, back in the 50s and 60s, McDonald's French fries had three ingredients. Today, McDonald's French fries have 11 ingredients in them. So we can see that this change, this shift in our dietary habits, and more specifically, what's in our food supply, is having a radical shift in our GI tract health. So it's unfortunate, but this is the real story because of this. Early onset colorectal cancer has become the leading cause of cancer-related deaths in the U.S. for men now under 50. So if you're a man under 50, that is your leading cause of death now is colorectal-related issues. For women in the same age group under 50, it is now the second leading cause of cancer-related deaths. So this is kind of like a telltale sign of what's coming down the pike. So if we look at the younger generation is dealing something with those of us who maybe are in the older generation did not have to deal with, and that is all of these new challenges, both environmental toxins and more specifically toxins in our food and changes in our dietary habits. So again, knowing that this is a big challenge that is now going to be facing a lot of people as they're coming up in the world. Again, think about what I just said earlier, 333% increase in diagnoses of those between the ages of 15 and 19 years old. I mean, it's just, it's scary to think what the future holds. Here's the good news. I'm not all bad news on this call today. Here's the good news. The good news is this can be changed. The trajectory of this can be changed, not just for the younger generation, but also for those of us in the older generation, because the reality for those of us who are maybe in the older, say, 50 and older category is, well, we may have not started off life with a lot of the tainted food supply that we have in modern day times. We oftentimes, as modern day adults, are consuming those foods. So the first step, of course, is to make sure we make better food choices. That is the first and most important step. Whatever you're putting in your body, the healthier, the more pure, the more created by God versus boxed, canned, and bottled by man, the better off it's going to be for your overall health, and more specifically in today's topic, your gut, right? So that means choosing more organic foods whenever possible, choosing the least processed foods that we can. And understanding that, again, we're still human. We're still going to make bad decisions. But making sure that the majority of the time, we're making better food choices and better food decisions. What else does that entail? It entails us making better beverage decisions, right? A lot of the stuff that we drink on the beverage market is not so good for us. I'll give you an example. There's all this debate back and forth about coffee. And coffee's good, coffee's bad, coffee's good, coffee's bad. You hear it, it seems like every other month there's a new study that says one or the other, right? But coffee, I'll tell you, in itself is not horrible. Coffee can be very good. But if you're, you know, consuming coffee that's been doused with chemicals and pesticides, probably not the best coffee you could be drinking. But if you were drinking coffee that was grown organically and you grind beans that are, you know, ground yourself at home where it's fresh, and you're using purified water to make that coffee, it's probably a pretty good beverage for you. Not, of course, on the regular, but, you know, occasionally, or maybe one cup a day is an example. But it's then, you know, you add things like these highly processed artificial non-dairy creamers that are loaded with things like fructose corn syrup and artificial flavors and sweeteners and all the things that make it bad. So now we just took what could be a healthy cup of coffee and we turned it into something bad. So beverages, we have to be on the lookout for what are we drinking and more importantly, what's in that beverage. So again, I just gave you two examples of a healthy version of coffee and a non-healthy version of coffee, right? We could say the same thing about flavored beverages. There's certainly a lot of flavored beverages on the store shelf that you can buy that again are loaded with all kinds of maybe unpleasant, not very healthy ingredients, or maybe we could reach for something simple like Zuma's Blast and put that in purified water and create a really great tasting beverage that has great nutrition benefits to it, none of the bad stuff, and enjoy it guilt-free, right? That could be another alternative. So we have to be cautious about not only the foods we're eating, but the beverages we're choosing. Obviously, for your own personal health and well-being, you've heard me say this 100 times if you've heard me on these calls, water is the fuel our body runs on, and purified water is critical for long-term good health. There is nothing that replaces water. And of course, as a Zuma member, you're already in the know. It's not just bottled, filtered water that we need. It's water that's been brought back to life, because that bottled, filtered water is dead water. Sure, it's devoid of all the bad stuff, or most of the bad stuff, hopefully, but it's still dead water. We need to bring it back to life, and we do that with, of course, X2O, by adding those beautiful trace minerals and electrolytes, by making sure that we're transforming that water into something that's very highly alkaline, by making sure that water gets that deep, effective cellular hydration, and of course, creating very hydrogen-rich water, which is getting lots of buzz on social media these days, all of that gets created by your X2O. So food and water, purified water with X2O, primary beverage choices, right, and primary food choices. What else can we do? Well, knowing that, again, we are not going to be able to completely avoid all of the junk that's in our modern-day food supply or all the toxins that are in our modern-day environment. The only thing we can do, if we can't eliminate it, we have to, again, protect against it. So the reason we have so many GI tract disorders, Crohn's, colitis, irritable bowel syndrome, you name it, all of these gut maladies, again, because of the food and beverages that most people choose to eat and drink, and because of most people's state of health, we need to repair and fix the gut. That's the bottom line. We have to protect your gut from being damaged by all of these things that we get exposed to in our modern day world. So even if we're somebody who's making the best food choices and beverage choices we can, unless you're completely 100% doing that, 100% of the time, you know there's still things you're eating that are bad. Perfect example, over the holiday weekend last weekend, 4th of July weekend, I had some really bad foods. I know I did. I had some beverages that I know were not healthy for me. And I'm okay with that because I'm also aware that I can do lots of things that will help reverse some of the potential damage that those things can do in my body because I don't do it all the time. And when I do it, I know how to protect my body against it. And what I'm talking about specifically when it comes to our gut, we've got to have a high-quality prebiotic and we've got to have a high-quality probiotic. And that is your 1-2 punch, if you will, against the things that are looking to wreak havoc inside the gut. So, of course, with Zuma, you've got Zyme 365, which is a very potent, very powerful, very delicious way to enjoy using a nutritional approach to protecting the inner lining of your GI tract, protecting the lining of your gut, rebuilding a healthy microbiome balance in your gut. All of that can be achieved with something as simple as that daily beverage we call Zyme 365. And then the tail end of that, the second part of that, is then taking that fertile environment that we've created with those beautiful prebiotics, those 25 organic ingredients in your Zyme 365, and now that we've got that fertile terrain, we need to plant some good seeds. We need to harvest some good gut bacteria, and that's where your probiotics comes in, to be able to then give your body an opportunity to really grow the healthy, beneficial gut bacteria that, number one, are responsible for so many benefits in terms of overall gut balance and gut health, but also help to outnumber and outpopulate some of the bad gut bacteria, like this E. coli that I was telling you about, that is now being linked directly to some of these colorectal cancer issues, right? So we want the good guys to win, and we do that by providing the body with just one small capsule of probiotics a day, so we have those good, healthy probiotics growing and thriving within the body. Guys, in my opinion, these are the simple, easy things to do, and if we do those things, we can still enjoy life. We can still be normal. We don't have to eat organic all the time. We don't have to always be perfect in our diet. But it allows us to protect our gut, protect our body, and not become what is a sad and scary growing statistic in the GI intestinal cancer category, which seems to be out of control right now. So I hope this message reaches you. But more importantly, especially for those of you who have younger individuals in your life, people you care about that are in that under 50 category, this is a wake-up call, and I hope you'll share this information with them.